I liked that new version. I love the hymn, and I like that version too. Thanks, you guys. Before I bring you a message, because I do have one for you, I wanted to give you some good news. Maybe you saw it on the video from Friday, but as you remember, Sammy Crippen stepped down after 2 years serving as our youth ministry director. And as of Tuesday this past week, he stepped down in May. I think it was in May. And as of Tuesday this past week, July 14th, we have a new youth ministry director. So David Kim, if you would come on up. Welcome to the Celebration family. Why don't you come on this side? And this is David Kim. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. The best part of myself, they're sitting over there. So Hugo and Fidel, you want to wave your hands?
Nice.
Yeah.
How old are they?
So Hugo is 14, and Fidel just turned 12 in May.
Awesome.
Yeah, summer's been a blur, so it feels like just a few months ago. Yeah. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And you're new to Denver. You moved here about a year ago.
So moved a year ago, although I've been here before, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a full circle thing. It's a much longer story.
Sure.
So I come in very different ways here.
Yeah. Love it. And what is your connection to Celebration? You and I met about a year ago, I think.
Yep.
But
we met over Zoom. So Celebration became a part of Renovare's church engagement. So I was involved in that in Atlanta.
Can you just, like, within a snippet, what is Renovare?
Renovare is a spiritual formation organization founded by Richard Foster. What is spiritual formation? It's discipleship, but it's discipleship renewal, because discipleship has really taken on cognitive, behavioral kind of connotations. And there's so much more to discipleship than knowing a lot of stuff and doing a lot of stuff. Like Jesus, mm-hmm. like, you know. So anyways, that's spiritual formation.
And we met you through Renovare.
That's right. So y'all were a part of that. And I just remember you were the first person. I was kind of a church mentor for three churches. And Celebration, y'all were very different. I remember, God
we take that as a compliment, right?
Yeah.
We take that as
in the best possible way. Because I remember, I'm not going to quote it because I don't want to embarrass you, but one of the get-to-know kind of meetings, you were very open. You had that learning posture, right? God is far bigger, far better, and even far closer than we could ever imagine. So I just really appreciate people that have that discovery, exploration posture, and y'all had that. So I was y'all's church mentor. And as part of the church engagement, we had five retreats. So we were together for five retreats.
There was a team of us. It was John Carlberg.
That's right.
And who
Moira
else? Can you
and
stand?
Travis.
Moira and Travis, are they here?
I don't think they're here today.
And then Sarah Crippen, who's in
Sarah,
the church. So there were five of us who were on this team.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we really got to know each other pretty well. Five retreats, five all-day retreats. Got to know y'all's story. And you guys are already very transparent and very open to begin with. And then Mary Lou is a big part of this story. She also does the Renovare Book Club, and I help with that on a Renovare level. And she I think the word for Mary Lou is gentle persistence. And finally, I relented. I didn't want to show favoritism to the three churches, but I finally came and visited Celebration. And I call it the Celebration Spiritual Twilight Zone. Every time I come here, something happens, and something really, really neat happens. Like, my boys got into Remsel thanks to Moira. And then I'm moving into Grant and Barbara's place. Like, you know, so church, school, you know, home. Like, goodness gracious, I don't even know what to expect next.
Love it. Yeah. So all those things are awesome, but why youth ministry for you?
Yes. Well, as part of my story, I'm still in that differentiation story. I'll just give you an example. I was camping with a friend of mine. He said, David, I'm going to cook you some eggs. How many eggs you want? And I said, well, how many of us are there And is there enough? He's like, David, just tell me how many eggs you want because I'm going to cook them for you. I said, fine, I'll take 3 eggs. Good. I'm going to cook you 3 eggs and you're going to enjoy them, right? So anyways, I got a vacuum cleaner when I was in 4th grade. I was part of an immigrant family trying to survive. So it's almost like I skipped my teen years and I get a chance to experience it all over again. So, yeah. And then I'm doing teen ministry with my 2 boys. I'm not just raising them, but I'm really hoping to disciple them in the way of Christ. I'm already doing youth ministry. But also, I think by God's grace, I have a love for the church, capital C. And the church is hurting in many ways. And in many ways, we're losing that next generation. So I do have some work with another church. I work with young adults. And so I have a sense of what's going on downstream and some stuff we can do upstream. And so, yeah, I just want to be a part of that. And so there you go.
So you are, this being our youth ministry director is not your only vocation. You're working with another church, Nova Church, which is Corona, Prez, and Nova are merging. So there's a really cool connection there. Renovare. So we're hoping that there'll be a lot of overlap. Like, it would be fun to get to do more with Nova. Of course, Renovare, you're going to hear more about that this year. We're really going to be launching a formation framework here at Celebration for Discipleship. So just some super, super cool stuff. And then God has provided David. So you're going to be working 12 to 15 hours a week, and he's going to be our youth ministry director.
Yeah.
And just a little bragging, and then we're going to pray. So we were meeting on Tuesday at staff, and we were talking with Sarah Crippen about Arts and Jesus Camp, and David was there, and his boys came up, and I'm like, so Arts and Jesus Camp is this next week. If you guys want to come, that'd be great. And David was like, well, yeah, this is our church now. So we're going to be here because we're going to serve at our church. And I just loved that missional heart. It just says a lot. I think that says a lot about David in a picture. So let's pray for him and let's pray for our youth as we begin this journey together. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for David. We thank you for his story, for the story of his getting a vacuum cleaner when he was in 4th grade, for the stories of what it was like moving to the U.S. as a kid and how that has shaped him and how you are weaving that in into something absolutely beautiful. Thank you that you love David. Thank you for Fidel and Hugo and that you have brought them to this church. Lord, we believe that your hand is on him and that you are going to use him to reach many youth inside and outside this congregation in this neighborhood. So Lord, we pray for your power on him. We pray for your wisdom, for your perseverance, for your hope, for your energy, and for lots and lots and lots of fun. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do, and we thank you for David. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jill.
Thanks, Dave. David will be around a little bit after if you guys want to, and he'll be here every Sunday in the future. So can you give it up for David? One thing that David and I have bonded over is the World Cup. Has anybody been watching that? Really? That's it? Really? How many of you have not watched the World Cup before but are watching it this year? Yeah, totally me. Mostly because it's in my time zone. Like, I don't have to wake up at 2 in the morning to do it. So today is the last day of the World Cup. I didn't intentionally dress in Argentina colors. But I also want to say that there's a place in this church for Spaniards, for people who are going for Spain, right? So I saw that outfit, Alex. I love it. I love it. I love it. We traveled on the, we were on the Young Lives trip together, and we were like trying to find places to watch the games while we were on our trip. It was quite comical. So today's the last game, and how many of you plan to watch this game? Oh, that's a good turnout. All right, Spain v. Argentina. So for 39 days, the last 39 days, the world has convened on the Americas, in Canada, in the U.S., and in Mexico for the World Cup. And I, for one, have been riveted. I have watched as many games as I possibly can, and that's been a lot. There's a lot of games. And I love all the stories surrounding the games, right? How the Tartan Army took over Boston and drank all the beer. I find that funny. And then it's Tartan Army of Scotland, right? Or how Lawrence, Kansas, shout out to Lawrence, Kansas, welcomed Algeria, the Algerian team, and wore their jerseys and wore green everywhere to support the Algerian team. Or how Cape Verde, how many of you saw that game? The small town on the west coast of Africa, the small nation on the west coast of Africa, shocked, surprised, inspired the world by their brilliance, right? The World Cup has just been fun. I might watch it again. They really should stay in our time zone, though, for me to watch it. But it's been a fun 39 days. And a common thing that I've read and heard over the last 2 months is how we all needed the World Cup. We needed, kind of like the Olympics too, right? We needed this awareness of our shared humanity. That somehow through the World Cup, through different things like this, we find that we're not all that different. That we're more alike than we realize. That we feel deeply. That maybe we're not alone. Apparently, the World Cup's been going on for a while. Did you guys know this? This isn't the first year. It's been going on for 96 years. It started in 1930. So perhaps our experience of this shared humanity, of this being in it with the world together, that this person thousands of miles away, that they and I have something in common, that perhaps this isn't a new thing. Maybe this is why the World Cup was begun or started. Initiated in the process. Something else that's been around a long time, much longer than the World Cup, are the Psalms. Do you see that transition there? Thank you. It's the Psalms. Nice. Nice. I deserve a trophy for that. No, the Psalms were written as prayers and songs that people for thousands of years have prayed and have sung. People who sung them on their own private journey with Jesus, their individual journey with Jesus, people have gathered together to sing these songs or pray these songs. Sometimes they've been psalms of worship and praise about how good God is. And others, like in Psalm 44, it's a psalm of anger at God. Where are you? Where did you go? I don't see you. And yet it's a prayer that people individually and together have prayed to God. They've been in it. Together, there's a shared humanity that comes, that we see in the Psalms. Psalms of lament, psalms of hope, psalms of fear, psalms of disappointment with God. And so when we read them, whether we read them quietly by ourselves in our own home, or whether we read them together in church like we're doing here, or with a collective of the people, we are joining with people who have felt these prayers, who have prayed these prayers for thousands of years, which means you and I are not alone. Whatever we may be feeling today, whatever we felt yesterday, whatever we feel tomorrow, we're not alone. We are part of a history of people who have taken that, those emotions, the ups and downs of it all, they've taken it to God. And this morning, we're joining with people from throughout centuries in reading this familiar psalm. We're going to read Psalm 23. Does anybody know that psalm? Anybody have it memorized? Nice. Love it, love it. Most of us are familiar with it, and many of us do have it memorized. It's a psalm, though, that makes us think of fluffy sheep or of nursery decor, right? Or of like sleepy pastures that make you want to take a nap or sprinkling brooks. Just feels very peaceful. I love it. I love this song. Takes me back to my childhood. Lots of art has been created depicting Psalm 23. But while my images of Psalm 23 are all idyllic, it's a psalm that's been around for a long time, and I wonder how many people have encountered it. We've been in Daniel for the last 6 weeks, and because there's so much happening today, I really didn't feel like I had time to unpack Daniel 7 with all of its beasts and horns and eyes and wheels. So please forgive me. We'll do that next week. So for those of you who are sad, we'll get to the apocalyptic literature next week. But today, we're in Psalms. But I wonder if Daniel, who was taken off to Babylon when he was 13, he was a brilliant scholar. And because he was one of the wise men within Babylon, he had, sorry, I keep moving around. I don't want to, put it in. Like that? Other way? Closer. I love John and John in the back. What's that Vidal Sassoon commercial? If you don't look good, we don't look good. He makes me look good. Hopefully that's better. No, so Daniel, I believe he had access to lots of sacred texts when he was in the palace in Babylon. So sacred texts throughout all the empire, including the Israelite texts. He may not have had all of the Old Testament scrolls from the Torah or all the Psalms, but I believe he had access to some of them. And so I wonder, oh, I like that. That sounds even louder. It's great. I wonder if Daniel, when he prayed three times a day, because that's what you guys talked about last week, in Daniel, what was it? You guys were in Daniel 6? I wonder if he would pray the Psalms at his window. And I wonder if when these crazy edicts from Nebuchadnezzar or Darius would come his way, I wonder if he would go through the Psalms, if he would read the Psalms out as his prayer. I wonder if David read Psalm 23, and I wonder if he prayed it. And for all intents and purposes today, I'm just going to assume that he did. We don't know. I can't prove it. So if Daniel prayed Psalm 23, did he pray? Did he say the words, "The Lord is my shepherd"? And what did that mean to him? When he prayed, "The Lord is my shepherd," as he's taken as a teen into captivity into Babylon, what did that mean to him? Or did he pray, "The Lord is my shepherd," as he is interpreting dreams before the very person who could kill him in an instant, Nebuchadnezzar? Did he pray, "The Lord is my shepherd," when he heard the edict from Darius that he must bow down and he refused to? Suddenly, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," takes on a deeper meaning than just fluffy nursery decor and cute sheep. I wonder if his view of Psalm 23 is different than mine. I wonder if it's more like this. If you could put that image on the screen, this is on your handout. I came across this image. This is an image of the shepherd by the artist Peter Koenig. And it's the Good Shepherd and Leviathan, painted in the 20th century. I wonder if this is what David was thinking when he was praying. I thought that monster seemed fitting since we're delving into apocalyptic literature next week. But Isaiah 27, this is a Leviathan, Peter Koenig's take on a Leviathan. Isaiah 27, 1, Isaiah is one of the prophets. He said, "In that day, the Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan, the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling serpent. He will slay the monster of the sea." I wonder if Daniel knew that verse too. I wonder if Daniel's picture of a good shepherd is different than yours or mine. So we're going to read it together. I'm just going to be the only one reading it. I'll read it from both the NIV and the Message. If you're familiar with it, I just invite you to close your eyes and soak in the words. The NIV says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to read it in the Message here. I don't know about you, but when I read a chapter or verses like this, I have internal objections to whether or not they are true. Do you guys ever feel that way? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Hello? There's a lot of things I lack. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Sometimes that's not my experience. So sometimes we come to Scripture and we read it and we have internal objections. Don't let those internal objections push you away. Be curious. Lord, I hear this. I want to believe you. I'm not believing it right now. You know what that's called? It's called faith. It's called faith. So let me read it in the Message. It says, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when, not if but when, even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. These are the words of the Lord. This week, I was praying about what to preach on. Again, I didn't want to just jump into apocalyptic literature, and I am afraid to, so it buys me a week, right? So this week, I was praying about what to preach on, and I was getting ready on Tuesday. And I was thinking back to our Young Lives trip back in last week. We were in Arizona. And you'll hear more about it in a little bit. It was a wonderful and exhausting week. And part of what we went there, a big part of why we were there is to watch kids for the teen moms who got to participate in camp. And so there were several days where we watched kids for 3 hours in the morning and 3 or 4 hours in the evening while the moms got to experience camp. But also, they arranged time in the afternoon, so if the moms wanted to go on any of the rides at the camp, that we would watch their kids while they could go on a ride. So that was like an hour, hour and a half in the afternoon as well. And Julie and I were in a group that was really small, and the moms opted not to go on these afternoon rides. And can I tell you, I was relieved. I was tired. So every day, I would go to our little bunk room, and I would read. I read a whole book while I was at camp, and I would take a nap, and it was wonderful, and I was still really tired when I came back, but I did that. But our partners in ministry, Alex and Juliana, they went in the afternoons to watch kids. They didn't get the time off, and Aaron and Brenna didn't get the time off that we did. So this Tuesday, I was just thinking back to that, and I was feeling kind of guilty. I'm like, Lord, I really needed it, and yet I feel really guilty that I had this time off. And I felt like the Lord in that moment, it wasn't audible, but I felt like he brought to mind this line from Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He knew what I needed. He knew that I was really tired going into the trip. And he made me lie down in green pastures. And then, of course, I have all these objections with the Lord, which he's still working on me on. I was just like, well, what about Alex and Juliana? They were tired. What about Aaron and Brenna? They were tired. And he was like, you know, let me take care of them. I know what they need too. And in that little moment, I wasn't aware of what was going on. I was just enjoying the nap time. Later, he said, do you see how I made you lie down? Do you see that I know what you need? Trust me. Psalm 23. I've prayed this psalm with people when they're dying. I've read it to children. I sometimes recite it or say it out loud in my car as I'm driving. It's a song for peacetime. And it's a song or a psalm for war time. It reminds us that the goodness and mercy of God follows us all the days of our lives, not just the pretty ones, not just the easy ones, the mundane ones too, the hard ones, all the days. Even into the dark valleys of broken relationships, of broken governments, of broken bodies. His love follows us there. N.T. Wright said, Psalm 23 helps us to prepare for the dark valleys of our lives because they will come. We prepare by learning to trust and to stick close to the shepherd. The main point of the psalm, though, I think is verse 4, where it says, for you are with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And then verse 4, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, you are with me. That the promise is that the Lord who knows you, who created you, who knows what you need, even before you know it, he is with you. If you stick close to him, he's always present. It's us who are the ones who wander. Walter Brueggemann, one of my faves, he's one of my favorite theologians. He said, it is God's companionship that transforms every situation. It does not mean that there are no deathly valleys, no enemies, but they are not capable of hurt. Psalm 23 knows that evil is present in the world, but it is not feared. Confidence in God is the source of a life of peace and joy. When I think of Psalm 23, I think of years ago in my 20s, I served at a ministry that worked with unhoused children and teens. And part of our ministry, we went on East Colfax into the motels on East Colfax, and we had a coffee house for teenagers who lived in the motels, and we had a clubhouse, a Bible clubhouse for children who lived in the motels. And one of the things that we did in the Bible clubhouse is we taught them verses, and we taught them Psalm 23. You know why? Because our children, where we were located on East Colfax was Colfax and Peoria, which is kind of nice now. At the time, 20, 25 years ago, it was pretty brutal, pretty dangerous. Our kids walked that intersection every day to go to school, every day to come to the clubhouse. They passed by drug deals. They passed by gun shootings. They witnessed sex trafficking all over the place. So when we taught them, what we wanted them to grasp is that even though they walk through the darkest valley, or another translation is through the valley of the shadow of death, that was their daily existence. We wanted them to know that even though they're walking through these dark valleys, there is a God who sees them, who knows them, who loves them, who walks with them, that they are not alone. That's what God is promising here. Whether you're crossing the intersection at Colfax and Peoria in the year 2000, or whether you're battling an awful divorce or fighting a war or trying to figure out where you belong or escaping a very unsafe country, the Lord is your shepherd. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, he is with you. Jesus said these words in John 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep, where scripture also says that all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned everyone to his own way. Like we all kind of do our own thing. Right? There's the hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love.
We're all susceptible to wandering. Jesus knows that, and he still says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for you. I am with you through the dark valley. The call, the invitation, is to trust the good shepherd. Trust the good shepherd. St. John of the Cross, he was a 16th century priest. He coined the phrase, dark night of the soul. Has anybody heard that phrase before? Dark night of the soul. Some of you have gone through your own version of a dark night of the soul. It's when God feels far away, when God feels distant. It's when the things that used to work don't work anymore with your relationship with God. You don't hear him like you used to. You don't experience him like you used to. He feels distant. He feels absent. Dark night of the soul. And St. John of the Cross observes that something insidious can happen in us when we go through a dark night of the soul, if we let it. It's a particular way of doubting. It's not just doubting that God exists, which I do sometimes still. Instead, it's a more insidious doubt. It doubts that God can be trusted. It doubts that he can be trusted. You guys, this doubt is as old as time. It happened in the garden with Adam and Eve, where the serpent convinced them that God really wasn't trustworthy. He really wasn't good. It's been around for years, for thousands of years. So if you doubt him, if you doubt whether or not he's trustworthy, get in line. There's nothing new. But when we begin to doubt that he is trustworthy, that's when this dangerous seed gets planted in our hearts and we begin to look at God differently. Rather than run to him, we run away from him, and we begin to see that all that's wrong in the world is really his fault. We assume that if there is a God, with all that's going wrong in the world, with the wildfires up in Canada or the wars and rumors of wars happening in Iran and Ukraine and all that's going on, we assume that if there is a God, then he must be cruel, he must not care, or he's just completely turned a blind eye. Or just maybe he's not powerful like we thought he was and doesn't care about me at all. If you've ever had those doubts, you're in good company. We all have. It's what you do with them when they come. This kind of doubt can pop up at any moment, at any time. Usually it pops up when God doesn't answer a prayer in the way he hoped he would. He doesn't work or intervene or provide for us in a way that we've been praying for. And we're like, you told us to trust your promises. I'm trying, but you're not fulfilling your end of the deal. And the temptation is to say, well, then you can't be trusted. You aren't good. It's in these moments, you guys, it's very, very important. It's in these moments that we turn to people around us and we turn to scriptures like Psalm 23, and we join with people who have prayed this prayer like Daniel for thousands of years. Okay, Lord, you say you are my shepherd. I don't feel it right now. I want to trust it. You say that I lack nothing. Huh. I feel like I'm kind of lacking a lot. What does this mean for me? What do you have for me here? It says you make me lie down in green pastures. Lord, I'm really tired. Help me. Help me lay down. Lord, my soul needs to be restored. I feel far from you. I feel weary. Restore me. And it's a keep coming back to this psalm. When you're going through the dark valley of the dark valley, the shadow of death, it's okay, Lord, you say you're right here with me. You say you're right here. Help me to trust you. And sometimes when our own strength, our own ability to trust in God's goodness is too weak, we need one another to point us yet again to how God is our good shepherd. We need people to remind us. If we have time in a moment, we're going to do an open mic. And that's just another opportunity for us to be reminded through your stories of how God has been faithful. I may have trouble seeing how he's faithful in my own story right now, but I can hear him through you. One of my favorite writers, Tish Harrison Warren, who, she was Tish Harrison when I knew her. She was a volunteer at Prodigal with me and with Ben Mercer back 25 years ago. She's a writer now, a really good one. She says, looking at the global and historical church, we discover that there is no question that hasn't been asked. No doubt that has not cropped up. No spiritual pain or disappointment that has not been borne by others. She goes on to say, a corrupt, cruel, spineless, and politically captive church? Is that what you're dealing with? Christians have dealt with this before and worked, sometimes died, for reform. Are there intellectual and philosophical questions assailing our beliefs? Well, this is nothing new. The problem of pain, of following a God who allows immense suffering in our lives and in the broader world, this has been faced, discussed, and written about by Christians for millennia. A morality out of step with our broader cultural assumptions and expectations, others have known this as well. A profound and enduring sense of God's absence, saints throughout time have experienced this and lived to tell the tale. My friends, you are not alone. If when you read Psalm 23, you have objections and you have questions and you wonder, or you look at scripture or you pray to God and it feels like he's not there. That's why we need one another. That's why we need his word to remind us over and over to keep coming back to when we forget. I was thinking, was it yesterday? No, this morning. I was driving here. I was just thinking, you know, so Lord, I'm so grateful for that little word from you on Tuesday, but it's Sunday now. Kind of ready for a new word. Do you ever feel that way? Like, okay, Lord, I heard from you in the past. You were my shepherd then. I heard from you, but wow, it's been a few days. Throw me a line, right? And he was like, well, sweetheart, that's why you go back to my word. I tell you over and over and over of my love for you. I tell you over, over, and over that I am with you, that I am good, the good shepherd. The challenge for you and for me is that we're the ones who wander away. We're the ones when we forget his goodness, when we doubt that maybe he's really not that good after all. We're the ones who wander. And so before we go into our open mic time, I just want to give you a few moments to sit and to reflect on how is God inviting you to trust him as your good shepherd? Are there aspects of your life, parts of your life that you feel like he hasn't been good in? And he's saying, oh no, trust me with that part too. Bring it to me. Let's just spend a few moments in this space, you talking with the Lord. And if you're not familiar with the Lord, just say, hey, God, if you're there, I'm here. And let's just sit in this space for a moment, and then I'll pray. Lord, it seems that as the Good Shepherd, you anticipated and knew that we would struggle to follow you. Because you sent your son to live as fully human and fully God, and who died on the cross for us, because we wander all the time, you know how prone we are to forget, how prone we are to fear, how prone we are to pride that we can do it ourselves, that we know what's best. Lord, thank you that in your good shepherd heart, you gave us the Psalms. that articulate for us when we can't put the thoughts into words how we're feeling, how we're feeling with you, that you invite us to pray those words. You invite us into that kind of relationship with you. Not only are you with us, but you desire to fully know us. Actually, you do fully know us. You desire us to feel fully known by you. So Lord, we thank you. For each of us today, I pray that you would give us courage to run back to you, to stick close to you, to not wander from our good shepherd, from you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we have time for an open mic, and I'm going to invite, if the Young Lives team wants to come on up, if you guys could make your way up to the front, we're going to hear from them. And if we have time, I'd like to hear from you, too. Where have you experienced the Lord as your good shepherd? Oftentimes, we remember things. We look in the rearview mirror, and we can see his faithfulness. Sometimes it's harder to see it in the moment, but I would love to hear from you. How have you seen the Lord as your good shepherd? But for now, we're going to hear from this team. If you guys want to come close. And can we use both of these microphones? We are not a friends divided. There's Argentina and Spain. This is so cute. Love it. But we drove a total of 24 hours in a 9-day period. It was a lot of driving. But why don't we start with names? So if we'll start on this side and say your name and what grade are you going into?
My name is Juliana and I'm going into 9th grade.
I'm Alex.
And not going into any.
Mm-mm. I turned 52 yesterday. So
happy birthday!
I'm going into 53rd
happy
grade.
Birthday! I love it. I love it. Awesome.
I'm Julia. I'm going into 8th grade. And I'm Brenna, and I'm going to be a freshman.
And Brenna, where's your mom?
She's in California right now. Her and my dad are hiking the John Muir Trail. So
Aaron, Brenna's mom, was on the trip too, but they're in California hiking. So awesome. So there's pictures of us. There's us in the car. It was awesome. So these pictures are going to be going through of our trip. We'll start on this side and then we'll go to this side. But what did you guys enjoy about serving at Young Lives Camp?
I enjoyed taking care of the children.
I did too. They were precious and adorable. I also enjoyed getting to know the other volunteers that were there. So Young Lives philosophy is that adults get to know young people over a long period of time. So these young moms were there with their local leaders. Most of the young people at camp were from Southern California and Arizona. So they were there with their leaders, but their childcare teams from back home came to camp so that the babies would have faces that they recognized. So since we didn't have Colorado teen moms and babies there, we were assigned to groups. And Juliana and I were assigned to the San Diego group, and it was just very, very special to get to know these people that care for these kids all year.
So good.
I also really enjoyed taking care of the kids. They were all just, our group was just amazing.
Yeah, I think I'd say the same thing. Just especially getting to know, like, our one-on-one kids. Like, we had just one volunteer for every baby. Yeah, and it was just cool to like see them throughout the week, like them laughing or them just like having fun with other kids.
I'll piggyback off of that. I don't know if you caught what Brenna said. There was one volunteer for every child. It was one to one, and there were lots of babies. So there were lots of people there, and not just childcare people. There were people caring for the childcare people. There were look at that. Aaron and Brenna, so cute. This is some pictures from our trip. But what blew me away, I think what I enjoyed the most, is this reminder that God is at work and his church is working all around, not just in our little corner of Denver, but that he's doing so much. It was so cool to get to meet these people. You guys, changing poopy diapers, I don't know. You don't write books about that, right? Nobody gets famous or celebrated for changing diapers. And that's what these people raised money for and gave a week to do to pour into these little kids' lives. It was profound. Last question, what did you learn from the experience?
I think the biggest thing I learned was probably just learning how to take care of younger kids, because I've never really done that before.
Yeah, we had a diaper challenge, how many diapers everyone could change every day. I think I was reminded how important it is to be together. We had a great time, the six of us. We laughed a lot, at least the moms laughed a lot, and they laughed at
so
us a lot.
Embarrassed the children a lot is what we did.
But just the spirit of incarnational life, and that's what this was. This was leaders loving young women and childcare people loving babies, and we had to be in person to be able to do that together, and that Jesus came to be in person with us, because just thinking about him isn't enough. We have to encounter him. And this group reminded me of that, because we just had a lot of fun together.
Love it, love it.
I also learned how to take care of kids, because I just don't have that much like babysitting experience. But I also learned that I can hold a 3-year-old for like a very long time.
I think the biggest thing I learned was just to be more patient. There was this one night we were watching the kids till like 10:30, and a lot of the moms wanted to keep the kids awake so they would sleep like overnight. And the kid I had, she was just super tired, and it was just like hard keeping her awake. And it was just getting closer to the time, and my whole group was just like, okay, we're almost there. And then on the radio, they were like, hey, the moms are pushing it back till 11. And everybody was just like, oh, oh my gosh. But I kept her awake. And I think it just taught me to be like, the moms might not get a lot of chances to have space from their kids and have like their own time. And so just like being like, I can do this one thing for them so they can experience other things.
So good. I learned so much, you guys. I learned how amazing these three girls are. They held their own the entire time. Like, they didn't complain. Like, Britta's talking about the last night they told us the babies, they were coming later. I about lost it internally. The girls didn't. Maybe they were having a hard time. They didn't show it. I mean, they were just so in it. I was so proud of them. Another thing that we got to experience, along with what Alex was saying, is the moms kept asking us, so you guys drove down from Colorado? You drove down to watch our kids? Like, why would you do that? And there were times when we were asking ourselves the same question. We're not all that innocent. But no, they were curious about, I think they were curious about God's love for them. Why would people do that? And we're like, because we love God and we love you and we get to be a part of this week. The last thing I wanted to share is, you guys, the previous years that a celebration team has gone, they have developed such an amazing reputation. Like, Celebration is the favorite church. Like, we had people coming up to us and be like, oh, we love you guys. And none of us had been there before. It's because of Jasmine and Natalia and previous people that have gone in the past. So it was just really sweet to get to continue their legacy. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you for letting us share. Alex is just, you're one of my favorite people, even though I didn't know yesterday was your birthday. So, but no, it was such an honor. Like, I got to hang out with rock stars for a week. It was just amazing. So thank you.
Yes, it was fun.
And thanks, you guys. Can we give it up for our team? We have just a couple of moments. Is there anyone whose heart is pounding who wants to share how they have trusted the Lord as the Good Shepherd? I hear Joe's heart is pounding.
Pounding. I'm usually not at a loss for words, as my wife and friends know, but just about welcoming people to our church, I just wanted to bring it up. We have a number of people who this is the first time you have been here, and they just... showing up for church the first time is just brave to me. Second time sometimes is even braver. So I just would encourage all of us to welcome folks who you don't know. And some of them even have kids here. So welcome and thank you.
Awesome. Anyone else? About how the Lord has been your good shepherd. Come on up. You're looking very patriotic today.
Gosh, my heart's pounding. 6 years ago, this very month, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and went through surgery and radiation, and I could do nothing, and this church blessed me. I felt like God was making me lie down and just rest. And then I felt like the following Mother's Day, I found out that my daughter was pregnant. And since then, Brad and I have had 7 grandchildren. And we feel like that was God's blessing being poured out on us.
Thank you, Marcy. 6 years. Yeah. Many have faced cancer and health battles in this room. Many of you have. Yeah. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to get into sermon number 2 now, so get comfortable. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I won't do that. That's cruel. No, but so glad you're here. So good to be with you. I missed being with you last week. I want to let you know of a couple things coming up. So Arts and Jesus Camp this week, please be praying for our team and for our kids this week. I do believe that when we are joining hands with Jesus, the enemy doesn't like it, and he's going to throw things at the camp, at Sarah, at whatever, to discourage. So please pray for the team. After Arts and Jesus Camp, the Wednesday after, July 29th, we are going to have our Summer Nights event. Super, super fun. We're hoping to connect with the parents at Arts and Jesus Camp and invite them to our Summer Nights event. The X18 team is planning something pretty amazing. We need volunteers, though. But did you know the Sawyer family has their own snow cone machine? And they have offered to make snow cones. Whoop, whoop. They have the spiritual gift of snow cone making. So they're going to share that with us. We're going to have a bouncy castle, face painting. We need, I think the youth are going to help with the pizza. We just need some volunteers. So if you are interested or available to help, please see Jenny Savig. She would love to talk with you about all that's involved. The bike shed is also that night. So, so much fun happening. Also, worship and prayer night. If you're thinking, I do want to get closer to the shepherd, and I just need some supports. I need help. This is a great way, one step to take, to spend more time with others and worshiping the Lord. So prayer and worship, this is the day after our Summer Nights event. And also, not only do we worship and pray in the chapel, but we also have women's happy hour at people's houses. So this next Friday, we're having happy hour, women's happy hour at the Mayberries. And I think you need to RSVP online for that. And then lastly, did you know that we have a new nursery? We moved the nursery from the south wing to the north wing to have all the classrooms together. It looks so nice. You're welcome to go by after the kids have left and check it out. But we're it's new. We're wanting to keep it new and fresh. And we believe that if you build it, they will come. So we have a wish list for our nursery. If you want to contribute, there's a few things on there that Sarah has identified as some things that would be helpful for the nursery. So if you love baby things, this could be a way for you to get involved. So I think that's it. Is that good? Can everybody stand? You know, regardless of who wins or loses today, God is still on the throne. It's just good to remember that, right? And remember that as you leave this place, that everyone whose path you cross, they carry a heavy load. And if you scratch just below the surface, you will find fear, you will find pain, you will find doubts and questions and disappointment with God. You'll find it all. So be good to yourself. Be kind. Practice kindness to everyone you meet. Grab that hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you, and grab the hand of a friend, and in the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.